Hey everybody, it's Brad Williams and Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by White Cloud e-cigarettes.
We're not saying you should start smoking, but if you already do, awesome. And if you've ever wanted to try an e-cigarette, these are the ones to go with. White Cloud e-cigarettes offers over 20 flavors. That's almost as many as Baskin-Robbins. 20 flavors and 6 nicotine strengths. It's cheaper than other e-cigarettes that you'll see at convenience stores and with much more variety. White Cloud e-cigarettes sponsors comedians. They've been doing it for over 2 years now. They've also sponsored comedy festivals like the Boston Comedy Festival and the Orlando Indie Comedy Festival. If you've ever been curious about trying an e-cigarette, I have. Well, the Fling is the low-cost, no-commitment way to do so. And the Fling offers same-day UPS shipping on orders before 6 p.m. Eastern.
But is there a website?
Customers can go to WCESigs.com. That's WCESigs.com.
But we want to make sure our listeners get them for cheap. So is there a coupon code?
To get 25% off of the order, use the coupon code ALNPODCAST. That's ALNPODCAST at WCESigs.com to get your White Cloud e-cigarettes today. And now, enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thanks so much for listening and subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, listening on your iPhones, your Androids. Brad and I really appreciate the support. This podcast is so much fun to do, and we've just been getting kind of overwhelmed with the amount of support from you guys recently. On Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. So many people have come up to us at live shows wearing ABLN shirts and just expressing their love for the podcast. And it really, man, it makes it even that much more fun to do this because you see comments and tweets and all that, but to get face-to-face confirmation that you guys are really enjoying it is the world to us, so thank you so much. Today's bonus episode, man. Brad and I had a lot to talk about. We, of course, did the Shrine Auditorium last weekend. That was incredible. 6,000 people. It was Jay Moore, Ralphie May, Gabriel Iglesias, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad, myself, and Tenacious D. And it was incredible. So we break that all down. We also get into my first At Midnight appearance, which hopefully you all saw, especially the surprise ending. If you haven't, go on Hulu and search about or At Midnight. Go on Hulu and search About Last Night. And when it doesn't come up, then write a bunch of hate mail to Hulu for not putting our fucking podcast on there. No, search At Midnight on Hulu. And the episode aired April 7th, Tuesday. It was myself, my best buds, Andrew Santino, and Jessamay Peluso, also former ABLN guests. It was the most fun ever. Brad came with me to write jokes. And we get into that, too. And then our buddy Mark Saratella, hilarious comedian, buddy of the podcast, runs the Comedy Juice shows all over the country. Go to comedyjuice.com. They have shows in New York, L.A., Irvine, Pasadena, San Diego. Mark is a hilarious dude. And he stops in for some headlines, kind of some Jay Leno news. We break down the news. We just there were a lot of hilarious headlines and on CNN.com. So Brad and Mark and Adam they broke down the news and had some topical discussion, some very funny insight into a lot of. I can't do that for too much longer, or I'm gonna start talking like Jay Leno for the rest of my life. I feel like it's one of those things, like where your parents go, "Don't cross your eyes." Because you don't stay that way. I feel like it's that same thing with Jay Leno voice. Like, don't talk like Jay Leno too much longer, because then you'll always talk like Jay Leno. Mom, that was not you. So this is a bonus episode. A lot of fun, a lot of laughs. I think you're really going to enjoy it. We still got another episode coming up on Monday, but we wanted to get this out. This was stuff that was fresh, it just happened, and Brad and I hadn't done a little bit of Just Us for a while. So, of course, follow Brad on Twitter, at Funny Brad. Follow me on Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Mark Saratella on Twitter, at Mark Saratella. I will be at the San Diego La Jolla Comedy Store tonight and tomorrow. Two shows, 8 and 10 both nights in La Jolla, California. Come out, the Comedy Store. Get your tickets at comedystore.com. Brad Williams is in Las Vegas tomorrow night at the South Point Casino doing the Dirty Show at 12:30. Get your tickets on Vegas.com and go see Brad in Vegas. And, of course, Go to AstoyMerchandise.com, get the ABLN merch, t-shirts, mugs. We got new shirts, new mugs. Get your merch, support the podcast. We're at all around town. And, of course, continue to subscribe on iTunes. Tell your friends to subscribe on iTunes so you can continue to get all the episodes. And, of course, listen to past episodes on AboutLastNightPodcast.com. We've got some really dope guests coming up. I don't want to jinx it, so I'm not going to say it yet, but just know that the next few months could be really fucking crazy guest-wise. So with the tour dates out of the way, the merch info out of the way, the Twitter handles out of the way, now sit back, relax, and enjoy a very special bonus episode of the About Last Night podcast with Mark Saratilla, Brad Williams, and me, Adam Ray.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to a dope podcast. Dinner or breakfast, Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
We don't know how to start these when there's no guest. Okay. What do?
We both just kind of looked at
each
other.
Yeah, we kind of looked at each other like,
you can do something? You gonna say something?
You can touch it? Wait.
I just got a flash into every fucking first date of Brad's where he's just sitting there awkwardly after he's run out of fucking clever dwarf jokes.
Yep, pretty much.
And run out of cool sports memorabilia to show her.
Absolutely. There's only so many John Elway jerseys that I have in my apartment.
And they've already eaten the chicken a la Brad.
I mean, yeah.
And they're sitting there on the patio and he goes, so,
you can touch it.
And how many times out of 10 does that work?
Well, here's the thing. And
answer the fucking question.
Oh, because there's a backstory. Because this is kind of actually my move. This is not too much of a stretch.
Well, I think it's every guy's move.
Right.
At some point, it's just don't be so obvious about it. Don't just say, "Are you going to touch it?"
Right.
But that's.
You say like, you know, there's a.
That's what we're thinking. And then she's thinking, "Does he want me to touch it?"
Yes. And by the way, answer always yes. There's never a time when the guy's like, not feeling like you want to touch it right now.
For sure. But I think you don't want them to touch it right off the bat.
Well, no. I would want to wait at least a minute and a half.
Jesus. Chivalry. Table for two.
That's what I do. I don't know. No, but there was when I was on the road with Mencia, and I had just gotten single, and we kind of covered this story in our interview with him. He told me, he's like, Brad, here's what you do. Just you get the girl in tour bus, and then you take your dick out.
Jesus.
And I would do that a lot.
Dad.
I would do that.
My mom's listening to this.
Oh, okay. Hi, Puddin'.
Jesus. So
the logic behind it is either something happens or you got a great story.
I have to assume that's like.
By the way, I've stopped doing that.
Yeah, let's just
that's not.
You should have opened and closed that story with that. I'm glad I didn't have to see you do that on Saturday night.
Right.
But you know what? Yeah, I feel like even if you did, I would have touched it, and all 6,000 people would have touched it. Because
I would have taken it. I cannot stay hard long enough for 6,000 people to touch it.
Somebody isolate that audio and send it to adamray@gmail.com.
There you go.
That's not my email. We perform on the K Rock April Foolishness Show.
Yes.
That's the reason for this bonus episode.
Mm-hmm.
My first time. Your
third, yeah,
and at the Shrine,
Auditorium in Los Angeles, which is right across the street from USC, where we both went to college.
Yeah, the last time I was near the Shrine, I was stumbling out of that Denny's at like 4 a.m. back to my fraternity.
I know that Denny's very well.
Yeah, to possibly try to memorize a monologue for acting class the next morning, and questioning why I'd eaten 6 plates of hash browns.
I don't question that decision at all.
Thank you.
I think it's a damn good one.
That's why you're at this table.
Darn
so
right.
This was a much cooler reason to be there.
Yes.
Because it was the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Show. 6,000 diehard Kevin and Bean fans, diehard comedy fans.
Right.
And, I just got off this tour with Divine where it was 1,500 to 2,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So I at least was warmed up for...
that sort of audience.
More than a comedy club 200-300.
Right.
But 6,000 is a significant upgrade.
Yeah.
Because, A, the venue is just epic. Like, Bob Hope hosted the Oscars there.
Yeah.
And Hootie and the Blowfish played concerts there.
I'm assuming that they did.
Darius Rucker sang his Sweet Timbers of Only Wanna Be With You, which, by the way, I did that in my sound check, and two people in the very back laughed, and then one guy goes, hell yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Still love for the Hootie, which is what their comeback album should be called. Still love for the Hootie.
But that size venue, I know they, you know, when you did it at the Gibson Amphitheater the last few years, which is inside of Universal Studios, which has now been transformed into the Harry Potter ride.
Son of a bitch.
Which is some fucking bullshit that we'll get into later. But
what the hell, man?
The lineup was incredible. It was it opened with Eddie Pence,
who won a contest.
Right.
He beat over 100 comedians who submitted for this thing.
A lot of great comedians.
A lot of fantastic comedians, some of which may be sitting on a couch in the same room as us right now.
Yeah.
But and he was chosen, and he got to open up the show, and he did great.
Yeah.
He killed it, but it's weird because people see it as like a contest when they're like, ooh, he won this contest, so he's brand new to comedy. No, Eddie's been around. Eddie's a great comic. He's a damn professional. There were people giving him advice backstage like, okay, here's what you do. And Eddie just kind of laughed like, hey, you act like I've never fucking done this before.
Yeah.
It's like when they started doing the Last Comic Standing show, they thought, we're going to find someone who's never done comedy before. Guess what? If you've never done comedy before, you're not funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it works. Eddie started off great, killed it, and then next was Gabriel Iglesias, who was going second because he had literally flown in an hour earlier from Las Vegas, was doing his set, and then flying back to Vegas to do a show. He did his show in Vegas later that night.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's why he had to skeet out of there.
Yeah. So that's why he went first.
That was crazy because that's, you know, you would think on most shows that guy, as powerful as he is on stage, would close. But you could say that about most of the acts.
Yeah.
So he crushes.
Mm-hmm.
And the intros are brief. It's literally like crush and then a new set of people, Ralph Garman, Kevin Bean, Dr. Drew introed you.
Yep.
I had our buddy Dave Sanchez and Beer Mug intro me from the Kevin and Bean show. And they bring me out. And you're on
after Fluffy.
Yeah.
And
right.
So
there's no real buffer. It's just like, all right, you saw that. Now here's something completely different.
Now, when you saw the lineup, were you excited to go on after Gabriel? Were you a little nervous?
1,000%. No nerves. I just didn't want to have to go first.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, you know what, man? Don't even start getting like nitpicky about anything.
Sure.
Like you're
on the show.
Yes.
There's 6-7 monsters
and
on the show, and you're one of them.
And I think at this point too, and we've talked about this, where when you start to kind of massage the line, like, this is why I don't do this at comedy clubs, where you see, you know, there's few instances where, like, if you're on a show and there's maybe like 60 people in the crowd and you talk to the other comics, and it doesn't matter if you go up early because you've got, let's say, a flight that night or something early the next morning, you pick and choose when you want to kind of like you pull those cards.
Sure.
There are people that do it a lot more because they just want to go. It's not where they'll make up a reason.
Right.
You know who you are, comedians, that'll do it. And
Rita Rudner, that bitch. She always comes in the Laugh Factory and goes, I have to go on second.
I got to be honest. The way you said that right there, it made me feel like she heard that one. Like, we've jabbed her a lot jokingly, but at some point,
one of these days,
at some point, the popularity of this podcast will spread into the ears of somebody who's close to her and go, do you realize these guys fuck with you almost every episode? And she's going to go, what? See, I just did it again.
That's a perfect Rita Rudner impression.
That's not even how she sounds.
Yes, she sounds like an African gray parrot that you just stepped on her tail.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
Jesus.
Sounds like a villain from the Crash Bandicoot video game series. Yes, Crash Bandicoot was referenced. I could have gone Sonic the Hedgehog, but that's too popular.
Something from the Sega family.
Exactly.
Anyway, if you're listening, Rudner, please do not shoot a harpoon at my or Brad's head.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that would be her weapon of choice. It would be something unorthodox.
Yes.
You would look at her and go, okay, it's mace, it's pepper spray, it's, you know, maybe.
No, but it's Rudner.
So she's coming at you like a Bond villain. She's not gonna just have a gun.
She probably comes from a weird laser family of like where they've like she's got a weird long lost cousin who like makes weapons. So he's like, I tell you, if you ever come into contact with a podcast duo who futs with you on a daily basis, you need to take one of these homemade harpoons and shoot it inside of their poons.
Shoot inside of their poons. Oh, God.
Shoot inside of their poons, by the way, is...
I think I rented that last week. It was okay. It was all right. I mean, so much plot. I was like, just get to the fucking...
Oh, Brad is never, never satisfied with porn plots.
Never.
All right, so I go up there, and how do you say I did?
You did fantastic, and I'm sitting there on the side of the stage watching you like I don't want to say a proud father, because you're older than me, but I'd say like a proud second cousin.
I like that.
Yeah, and just like I'm sitting there, and I'm kind of nervous for you, to be honest.
Sure.
I've seen you do 1,000 shows, seen you crush 1,000 times, but I was telling Kevin and Bean for months and months and months, like, dude, you gotta get Adam on the show. You gotta get Adam on the show. He's gonna be great. He's gonna be great. So there was a part of me that was like, oh, fuck,
my reputation's on the line.
Yeah, yeah. It's and you're out there representing the podcast. So I was thinking, all right, be good, and you just went up there, and
we didn't talk about our set list or anything. So you didn't. I mean, no. But you, I think we both, you know, recognize at this point that like we're, you know, when we need to deliver, we deliver, and
yeah,
we don't ever have phone it in sets. But
no, and
but
especially in front of 6,000 people, you're gonna be like, all right, well, I'm gonna try this new thing,
right? But you know how much I was looking forward to it, and how much I wanted to do well. So maybe there was something that seeped in that was like, dude, maybe he just fucking panics and forgets his joke, or accidentally drops an N-bomb, or fucking just takes his dick out and goes,
Brad told me to do this.
I didn't know what to do. Brad told me to do this.
Hey, man, I forgot my set.
No, let's keep talking about me. But
okay,
so,
sorry about that.
But I just wanted to tell people how I finished my set.
Well, first of all, you did, and this was so much fun for me because I read a bunch of reviews, and you did a joke where you referenced the DuckTales theme song, because it is Adam Ray.
Yes.
And DuckTales theme song is pretty much your bread and butter.
Sure, but I also don't do that joke. I didn't do it at all on the Divine Tour.
Nope.
And I just haven't done it in a while because it's somewhat specific to a generation, but like... Mm-hmm. With a big comedy crowd like this that was so, like, just, you know, full of a good mix of people, young and not, you know, there was no, like, 60-year-old people there.
Yeah.
But to hear 6,000 people, if you haven't heard the joke, I think it's online somewhere, but where I do it and then people, you know, do it just out of nowhere and then people do in the context of the joke and 6,000 people woo-wooed back. That was a fucking powerful feeling.
Right?
I felt like Tony Robbins... who had just said some sort of like great inspiring like, and if you build the house, then you will live in it, and that means you are winning, or whatever.
And then like 6,000 people just go, we're winning. You're like, oh, wow, I believe this shit.
Yeah, some sort of like powerful priest praising preacher.
Say that 5 times fast. Powerful priest praising preacher. Not bad.
But you know what I'm saying? So that was and then I got off on a high note. All right.
Yeah. So but I love reading the reviews of the show because every single review I read spelled woo-woo differently.
Yeah.
There's not a way that everyone could come together as a group and be like, okay,
all right.
When we're quoting DuckTales, how do we spell woo-woo?
Yeah.
Can we figure this out?
I had woo-hoo, and I was like, are you fucking stupid?
Yeah, you're doing the fucking Homer Simpson. Woo-hoo! But
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not that.
So then Jay Moore goes up, crushes, because he's Jay Moore.
Yep.
And he's a veteran.
Yep.
And then Eliza goes up,
yep,
crushes, because she's Eliza and a veteran.
Yep.
And then Brad Williams goes up and destroys.
I was going to play it up, but yes.
Also goes out and opens with a Ralphie Mae fat joke who was following Brad and goes... Sorry, they took a little time bringing me out. They're prepping the floor for Ralphie Mae's entrance.
Yep.
Which was met with a lot of oohs,
yeah,
but more laughs. But
yeah,
the laughs then turned into oohs.
Yep.
And then more laughs because Brad's like, yo, this is my third time. And then he follows that up with, did you miss me? Like the fucking Joker in Batman. Like that was, I was like, wow, dude, this guy's cock is outside of his pants.
But that sucked because they didn't even notice my cock was outside my pants.
I know, dude.
It's out there dangling in the wind. No one's giving any love.
Well, that's, hey, lesson learned. So true. You crushed. You worked the stage. You look great.
Thanks, man. I was wearing a vest.
Yeah. That's your vest. That's your vest and tie combo that you wore in your special.
That's right. Whenever I have a really powerful show, I go for a power vest tie combo.
It's good, man. You look good.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Yeah, thank you, sir.
So you crushed, and that was great. And just, you know, and people, you could tell you're a fan favorite too.
It was fun, man.
And you got the closest thing to a standing O.
Yeah.
You also give no choice for people not to do it, which is pretty great. Do you know what I mean by that?
No, I have no idea. Tell me more about me, Adam Ray.
Well,
I fluff the audience.
Well, the way you finished, and then the way you kind of like really, you finish strong, but then you milk it. Like there's the way I made sure to kind of like when I finished, you know, put my hand up and really kind of like took 2 or 3 seconds to go, thank you, blah, blah, blah. This is awesome. Then I turn around and left. You fucking like, people, when you ended, they knew you ended. Yeah. You like you took your time. You walked up into like the you know, almost like your spot to stand for, like where the spotlight was gonna hit you.
Yep.
You know, and just kind of like milked that moment, and it built, and you really like, you know, it was the way that like when in a Broadway musical when the last guy comes out to bow, really right. Milks that fucking bow.
Damn right.
You milk that moment, and people get excited for those milk moments.
I think you just like, all right, got milk out. Get excited for those milk moments. It's a new slogan.
Hey,
sweeping the nation.
We gotta fuck, man.
Get excited for those milk moments. Come on, come on, dairy farmers. Hire Adam Ray. He's doing stuff with Hyundai. Can you imagine his voice? Like, get excited for those milk moments.
Oh, clearly you've never done a voiceover.
Nope.
I'll tell you never. What it would be. Ready? So you give me a scenario, and I'll tag it with the voiceover.
All right. So here's the scenario. This son comes home, and he's all mad. Because he just got cut from the basketball team.
Damn it. I for sure thought I was going to make it this year. And, but fucking Tommy Jones beat me out again.
Tommy Lee Jones. He's 85 years old, but still playing high school basketball. And he's just really depressed. The girl he asked out didn't say yes.
Aww.
And then, but then his dad comes over.
Huh?
His dad comes over and he says, son, I've been there before. And he pulls out a glass of milk. And he hands him the glass of milk. And he says, let's share some milk together, son. And then comes the catchphrase.
Get excited for these milk moments.
That was like half the Saturday Night Live guy.
Get excited for milk moments. No, actually, or maybe it's more, it's either that, like the, almost like the... like the Comedy Central sarcastic hype guy that's right. Like an all new Comedy Central, The Daily Show, like that guy.
Yeah.
Or it's like Carl's Jr. like, get excited for milk moments. Or milk, get excited for these moments. You know, just really dry.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, yeah, so then
but
you milked it. It was great. You crushed. People got up. Half the 6,000 got up. I was still seated because I was like, it wasn't that funny. I was the Boo Earns in the back.
Yeah. But I tell you why I do that, and it's not in my head. It's not to get a standing ovation. It's not to like. So I'm looking at the audience like, eh,
yeah,
like it's not to that. It's because I do that show maybe once a year, maybe once every other year, and I'm not playing to 6,000 people often. So I really kind of. I've done my set. Now I want to take my time to really look out the audience and go, holy shit, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Because we're not a Gabriel Iglesias who does that kind of crowd every night.
Nope.
Or Ralphie May who then followed me. Ooh. By the way, Ralphie May follows me and then he heard the joke that I made about him, obviously, because then the next 12 minutes are...
12 of his 20 minutes.
Oh, 12.
Were midget jokes.
Were midget jokes. And
midget jokes.
Holy shit, were they good. And I asked him about it afterward, and I was like, dude, did you plan that? Because you saw you were going on that. He's like, no, you just said that. And I was like, all right, now I'm going to talk about Brad.
Yeah, and I heard him say on Kevin and Bean, because I asked him, like, how do you do that? How do you just have that much material ready to go? And he goes, man, you've been doing it as long as I do. You got 20 minutes on everything.
And I'm sure he does. I'm sure you can bring up milk moments, and he probably has 20 minutes on that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so, and then Ralphie crushes, and then he ends with a finger banging joke that somehow gets the audience to sing Bon Jovi's "Living on a Prayer."
Yeah,
I don't know how that happens.
Yeah,
but he's a damn master.
Yeah, when you're a pro, you can pretty much get the crowd to do whatever you want.
And he did, and it was great.
And then the show was closed by Tenacious D, Jack Black, Kyle Gass, which was fucking incredible.
So much fun.
And what was even cooler about seeing them perform was to only know that hours before, in their green room, when Brad and I barged in to be like, we're on the same level, we're 2 feet away, dressing room wise.
Yeah.
We don't know when we're going to ever see you again.
So
we're on the same
up.
Show. Yeah, there's a legitimacy.
What's up.
There's, we're, you know, yeah. So we walk in there, guys, how are you? And then before we leave, we're like, all right, we'll have a good show. And Jack goes, we got to do some sort of send off, some sort of hoorah. Like, guys, what are we doing? What's the chant? Hands in.
Yeah.
And we put the hands in.
And just so you guys know, Jack Black, whatever you think Jack Black is, that's exactly who he is.
Hilarious, like, expressive.
He doesn't stop that. I mean, I don't even want to call it a character now that we've talked to the guy.
Because
it's not a character.
No.
That's just who he is.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't really, I can't do the voice, but he's just, he talks like Jack Black.
Yeah.
He's got the beady eyes.
Yeah.
And he's just saying like, all right, so what's the catchphrase
going to be? Yeah, what's the catchphrase? He goes, hands in.
Yeah.
And so we put him in and then I go, Hakuna Matata, dude. He goes, little skeptical, but let's try it. And then he goes, but we got to whisper it. And so we all go, Hakuna Matata. And throw our hands up.
Yeah.
And he looks at me and goes, good call. Good call on the Matata. And then goes, all right, let's do it, guys. And then we went back in there after the show, hung out a little bit longer, talked to them some more.
Great.
You know, got the ball rolling on a potential podcast.
We hope that happens.
And took a few pictures, which obviously we posted on the Instagram of us, of Brad spread across our laps, which was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that was just a bananas night. And then, you know,
it was just
a lot of good friends. Mark Saratella got to come hang with us backstage and be at the show. And that's always the coolest shit, man, when you got your buddies and you had all your pals. And,
I was shocked because, like, Jay Moore was there, and he just showed up by himself, and, like, a lot of their comics just showed up by themselves. I'm from Southern California. I brought everybody. I brought my family. And, by the way, my my brother-in-law, Kevin, who I talked mad shit about in my act, but seriously, he's a great dude.
One of the most stellar dudes on the planet.
Stellar guy brings a brings a traveling suitcase full of booze.
Yeah.
The mobile bar. No one else brought booze, so guess whose dressing room became the hangout spot?
Yeah.
Mine.
If he was a traveling like magician or clown juggler, you'd be like, whoa, we're going to see a great show tonight because that's a big suitcase. If you love to drink, then you were even more excited when you found out what it contained.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much booze.
Yeah, so much. And everyone was just kind of in the dressing room just drinking, hanging out, and it felt good. This is not, like we said, this is not a typical show for us, so it felt nice to share it with people, to have friends there. And then the after party, I didn't plan to have the after party at my apartment, but...
No, but you knew it was happening.
Yeah.
You're a hoster, man.
I'm close enough.
Yeah, you were
there.
Close, yeah.
And I said, everyone fucking show up, and I have expected them not to. They did. People brought pizza. Solid move.
Yeah.
And, just a great after party. It was just everyone, there no drama, no one got, there were no fights, no nothing. It was just an unbelievable night. And if you're lucky enough to be in that audience, first of all, thank you for supporting and supporting those
great
charities.
There were a lot of podcast fans there.
Which was, so, it's always, by the way, it's
I'd
always
say probably
so cool.
5,000 of the 6,000 were
obviously
ABL listeners.
I mean, that's what, I mean, at first they were going to have it in the Yoo-Hoo room at Flappers, which seats about 30 people. And then that's like, well, we got Adam Ray and Brad Williams, and their fans come out.
Can you imagine if 6,000. Either one of us had been like, if you're an ABLN listener, make some noise? And literally, like, you hear, like, just coughs and
just
maybe just Mark from backstage going, hell yeah.
Just one guy in the back, like, Clooney Bloops. Rony and the Quays.
Oh, man. Well, the other cool thing that happened this week that I want to talk about before we get to our bonus guest and our bonus segments.
Mm-hmm.
I did At Midnight for the first time.
Yeah, you did.
With podcast guests Jessamay Peluso and Andrew Santino.
Mm-hmm.
At Midnight, Great show. Hardwick, the man, knows what he's doing and
right.
is giving comedians a great platform to be funny.
Absolutely.
And although we had been petitioning for a Brad Williams, Adam Ray combo show, which will happen.
I have no doubt.
No doubt.
Especially after what happened.
For sure. Because that show is just perfect for you. Because it's quick jokes, it's mm-hmm. riffing, it's... everything you're great at.
Yeah, and then to have...
which is why I brought you with me
yes.
to help me write jokes, because basically how the show works, you know, different than Chelsea Lately, where you get your topics a couple hours before, and you got to write as many jokes as possible. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Sometimes all the segments get in, sometimes Chelsea skips them, sometimes she cuts them, and you just got to on-the-fly adapt.
Right.
At Midnight, prepares the shit out of you. First
yep.
of all, they pair you up with a writer to come into your green room, and they have a bunch of shit that they've written for you to either get the ball rolling for you that you can pick from
sure.
or you know, come up with your own shit.
Right.
Which we did. You know, the writer who was with us had some great shit and we picked some of that. And, this guy named Jared, who's hilarious. And then Brad, and I started just the way we do like on this podcast, like he'd say something, then I would tag it with something, then it'd make him think of something else.
Right.
Then, you know,
and then you riff and then you,
and we had
a clean
hour or so to do that, which was great that we weren't rushed with it.
I love that. I had told a couple people that I went with you, and then when the show aired and you told the Manatee Kardashian joke,
yeah.
my phone blew up with like three texts going like, that was yours, wasn't it? Like, they know.
Yeah,
they know that if it's a Kardashian joke, it probably came from me.
Yeah,
but it was just so much fun, and to watch you out there with Andrew, who is fantastic, and Jessamay, who was just awesome, and that really made you comfortable, didn't it?
Yeah,
like,
and that's why they want
there.
Those pairings to be
sure.
that you know, have the rapport be established like that, because they want you just to riff and play. And mm-hmm. even though a handful of the riffing stuff that happened was made it in, there's so much that got cut. But you know, that's what they want. They want to get as much
yeah.
funny as possible, and then have a lot to pick from.
Right. And for anyone who saw the episode, one thing that did get cut that I just want to say was damn genius, Andrew Santino, Roni and the Quave himself. Andrew Santino mimed juggling dicks and throwing them up in the air and
dropping a few,
picking them up, throwing them up in the air and catching them all in his ass. And
I started a clap.
Yes.
I started it like it was a fucking circus trick. I started going like that, so the whole crowd is doing that, and Andrew's in front of the podium,
yes.
mime juggling these dicks and then catching them in his ass. And he called back to it, I think, one more time.
Yes.
And they cut it.
And they cut it. And, I watched it like, how do you
I know.
Juggling dicks?
It was so funny, dude.
It was so funny. It was so great. And then, as we're walking out to actually do the show, Santino looks at me just like, okay, dude, here's what we're doing. If I get eliminated, I'm going to say, like, I'm taking my stuff or whatever and I'm getting out of here. And then you come up and, like, grab onto my leg like a koala bear.
Yeah.
And I will drag you off stage. And I was like, all right, that sounds like a
yeah.
plan.
And then I turn around and I go, wait, that's my dwarf.
Yeah. Which, by the way, that sitcom should have been made in the 80s.
That's my dwarf.
Coming on right after Small Wonder. It's Small Wonder followed by That's My Dwarf on the KTLA Power Hour. I don't know why I use a radio term, but whatever.
He says that, and I was like, well, fuck you, man.
Yeah.
Bring your own dwarf.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
If there's any bit that's happening, it's with me.
Yeah, you're goddamn right it is.
So then I go, well, what if you win? He goes, oh, then I won't do it. I go, yeah, then I'll do it. I go, because I never thought about doing anything, because I just – my head wasn't in that space.
I never thought
also,
about it either.
I didn't know. It's my first time on the show. I didn't know
right
doing any sort of crazy stunt like that if it was going to be welcomed.
Sure.
So thankfully, it got down towards the end, and and I looked down at my screen before the last game, and I'm like, all right, I'd have to get like 10,000 points to win, or 1,000 points.
Right.
And so I look over, and Brad's standing behind one of the cameras, always in my eye shot. And I mm-hmm. checked in with him like three or four times, and then in between one of the commercial breaks, when it looked like I was going to lose, I like motioned to him. I go, "You're going to jump," because you know. Then it was like, "How are we going to do it?" Like,
yeah.
I didn't want to fuck it up. It had to be seamless. He couldn't run
sure.
on stage,
and then we stop and pause.
Stop,
go,
and then I go, "Get on my back." And
yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
want to have to say anything to him, because it fucks up the whole bit.
Exactly.
If the timing isn't seamless, it's not funny.
Right.
If there's any sort of hesitation of you, like if you try to jump on my back, but then I'm like, "No, I was going to grab you."
It's
fucked up.
Fucked up.
So Brad, I look at him and I go, dude, I go, jump. And then I put my arms out, I go, and I'll catch you.
Yeah.
And he just does a salute like, fucking got it.
Got it. And that's the thing. We're saying it because it's the podcast, but no words were exchanged.
No. I just was like, I did a mime like Brad jumping, and then I put my arms out and catch, and he just nods and does a salute.
I got like, it was like fucking Stockton Malone.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of look and go, all right, we got this.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever their signal was for the pick and roll, that's what we just did.
Exactly.
And
I got to tell you this, because they got word of it. They got word that that was going to happen.
They read the fucking sign language. That's a sign for jumping dwarf into hands.
We all know that. So the stage manager comes over to me and goes, "Hey, we found out what you were gonna do. We have to clear it with Comedy Central. We gotta get some lawyers involved, and we gotta make sure that this is okay to do. We got the right lights and cameras." We're like, "Okay, we'll find out and then get back to me."
Yeah.
And so they come back to me and they say, "Okay, we can't do it because Comedy Central is afraid that if you jump on Adam, you're gonna fall. You're gonna." Hurt yourself, yeah. And then
or hurt Adam,
or
you yeah. both fall,
or yeah. hurt Adam,
hey,
and
guess what?
It's not gonna go.
That did cross my mind for a moment, like the potential traumatic emergency situation that could have evolved from that.
Absolutely.
But I fucking didn't care.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, I was. You know, it's just like.
Yep.
And but I also was like, dude, we're best friends. If you can't jump into my arms and I can't catch you.
Exactly.
Like on one take, then maybe we shouldn't be friends.
I'm pretty sure that's how Urkel and Eddie Winslow broke up for one episode. We're like, you can't catch me, Steve.
Yeah.
But yeah, and
so it happens. You jump, you run out of state. I lose. I look down.
Right.
And by the way, the all the sign language signals that went down to establish between us what was going to happen mm-hmm. happened in about 4 seconds.
Yep.
And immediately, when Brad does a salute, Hardwick goes, "All right, welcome back to At Midnight." And then it's like, and Adam, you know, with the points is going to lose, and I do the whole speech, and
yep.
then, you know, the seamless run. If you haven't seen the episode, it's on Hulu. Look it up, and it couldn't have got better. And the picture you posted on Instagram was hilarious. and it was great, too, because I didn't know. I was like, all right, when I catch you, when I caught you perfectly,
yep.
And stood up, and then I was like, all right, you got to turn around and just like face the audience. Because I think I go, good night. But your
yeah.
quick little wave,
yep.
I'm just like, see you guys later.
Yeah.
Oh, so great.
And then Hardwick played along and gave us both high fives as we were walking out, which is perfect. Now, and like I said, they had told us that it was not going to happen. It was not going to work. And in my head, I'm like, okay, that was a good idea. Oh, well.
Oh, so you had – oh, I didn't know that. So you had basically just been like, oh – like, I'm the reason, I'm putting the kibosh on this.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. And so I'm sitting there.
Which, by the way, okay.
And then I'm like, well, obviously they're going to tell Adam, and then it's just not going to happen. So
but you thought somebody would come tell me.
Yeah, but no one told you. So then you go out there, and it's like, all right, well, I'm just going to take everything and get out of here. And I look at that like, well, now I can't not do it. you can't. Go out there and say, like, Brad, come on, and then hold your hands out for a dwarf to plop into your hands, and then no dwarf falls into your hands. That can't happen.
What if they did tell me, and it was a different Brad, and they just didn't tell you that it was, so it's like, I go, come on, Brad, and then Brad Garrett comes out, and, like, you trip over him. And
hey, Adam Ray. This is my Brad Garrett.
And I fucking carry him off.
Well, I mean, that would be an injury
yeah.
right there.
Yeah, that's not going
to
work out.
But it was so cool to see you do it, and so cool to see you have fun with Jess Man Andrew. And the show went well. It's a great show.
Yeah.
It At Midnight on Comedy Central, and you will definitely be back.
I think so, and I can't imagine that you won't be back with me.
It's going to happen, people. It's going
to
happen.
All right, now we want to shift gears a little bit, and before we wrap up, we've got about 20 minutes left before this bonus episode concludes.
Yep.
We haven't really done this before, but I was on CNN.com a few days ago and today, and I was just we've joked about like the headlines sometimes how crazy CNN it'll be like plane goes down in the Alps 200 dead, and then it'll be like Oprah swears she's not eating fucking crackers anymore like just like and then Kardashian
right.
gives birth to first baby, and then fucking
yeah.
E. coli found in every person's shit or whatever, Bill Gates wants to turn shit into water, and then below that
he did by the way
which is
ridiculous
how great it is to be rich.
Yes,
he has enough money to have enough to afford enough downtime.
Yes.
To be able to conjure up thoughts like, I wonder if we can drink our shit water. I have the amount of money that Ford Stott's like, I wonder if I can buy a printer and the Fraggle Rock Labyrinth combo DVD.
And when you find out you don't, you absolutely buy the Fraggle Rock Labyrinth combo DVD. Yeah.
Which, can I come over to your house and print up some sides later?
Oh, okay. No problem. Yeah.
But there's hilarious news stories on CNN.com. And we'd like to bring in guest, friend of the podcast, mm-hmm. friend in real life,
right,
to help us commentate on these news stories, because he's a great comedian.
He's a
great
sniper.
Friend. He's a sniper.
He's a comedic sniper.
Do you guys have a different guest?
We wanted you to introduce who we're talking about.
Coming out of the bedroom.
Come on out, Harlan Williams.
Yeah. Hey guys, how's Mark's it going, buddy?
What is it?
That was my Harlan.
Oh, nice.
It's just kind of a slow one.
Yeah,
that's it. But
Bill Gates is turning shit into water.
Yes, yeah. He did, and he drank the first glass of it.
Yeah, it's like I'll just be dehydrated then.
You're like, well, your options are dehydration and severe muscle cramping, or you drink shit water.
Totally. Are we also running out of Gatorade? Just something that.
Are we running? Yeah, dude. It's like Gatorade. Is it in you? It's like Gatorade. Is it in you? We mean the poo. Is it in you? Because you got to drink that now.
Yeah. Good luck. You're right. We have run out of drinks. You go to any grocery store, there's no drinks in there whatsoever.
One of the news. So I'm just going to read some of these news headlines and stories, and we'll just discuss because they're super interesting. And I was having my own hilarious thoughts, but I was like, well, I would love to hear you guys commentate on these. So the first thing was the Duggar family, right? TLC show.
Yep.
19 and Counting.
Yep.
By the way, did you guys have a 19 and Counting joke when that was out? I feel like everybody did.
It was probably along the same lines of everyone, just something along the lines of putting a cork in a vagina. Right? That thing that we all write. Right? Guys, don't leave me hanging. I was not the only one that thought of a cork inside the vagina joke.
Yeah, it's also like they didn't show 19 and Counting because like they couldn't come up with like 19, 20, 21. What's
that? Yeah, what was my joke? I think I just did like the alternate titles. Like it's called 19 and Counting because like ripped up pussies was not TLC doesn't, you know.
Because it's a 19 and Counting, it's like it's a redneck dozen.
Well done, sir.
So the first of the 19 Duggar kids had a baby. So the first of those 19 kids has now had their own baby. So my question is, how many do you think she'll have? And
an over-under of sorts.
I do believe Vegas is taking odds. I just don't know. Like, if you had 19 brothers and sisters...
No way you like all of them. There's no way you know all of them.
No.
Although they do a lot of family stuff together, so.
Well, you have to. There's 19 of you.
This is also where, like, Jack Daniels and Jim Beam could come in handy. Because we could hire those two guys to kill these people.
There's also, I would like to think that there's enough separation between, like, kid 4 and 17 that they might fuck.
Well, I mean, yeah, you have 19 kids.
Not like in
and not even know it. They're just drunk in a bar. Like,
that's
and then
what
they
I'm
wake
saying,
up in the morning.
Man,
like,
you don't know.
You don't know who all your siblings
you're
are.
You're going into your house. What are you supposed like? You walk into your house and you have to look at the family portrait every night before you go to bed or before you walk out to go to the bars.
Really? Like, all right. Don't fuck all these people.
Or maybe you've got flashcards in your back pocket. It's like a game of guess who. Game of guess who every night you go.
Guess who's inside me? Hopefully not my family.
Oh, God.
God, that's
a spinoff.
I didn't even think about that, but now that you're saying, because number 19 is probably like almost 30 years old, and number 4 is like 2 or 3, and then the kids grow up, and maybe they move away, maybe they come back. Can you imagine being on Tinder and just going through, saying like, cousin?
They've probably got their own app for just trying to hang out with their family.
You know what? It's called the Duggar app. You take a picture of the person you're about to fuck, and within 5 minutes, it
notifies you.
Yeah, it tells you, like, okay to fuck, not your relative. You're fine. Or, holy shit, do not touch that. Do not.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I've learned so much right now. I didn't know you weren't allowed to fuck a relative.
Wait, where are you from?
I got to leave the city and hire a lawyer. Also, who is this family going up against in Family Feud?
themselves.
That's where they're like, can someone contact the Brady Bunch? Like, that's not enough. They're still 11 short.
That's not enough, man. We need the Brady's, we need the Partridges, we need the Flintstones.
And now over here, we have the Duggar family. Duggars, introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Mary. I'm Tom. I'm Barry. I'm Brad. I'm Mark. All right, that's all. That's all the time we have today, everybody. Next time, maybe the Duggars will actually play around.
Yeah.
It's got to be a terrible moment too when your mom was like, "Did I give birth to you?" Just to check, I don't. You seem familiar. You've got a familiar face.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean, if you're the neighborhood kids, and like maybe you have those parents that like aren't good parents, like don't feed you or don't cook for you or don't buy you food, just head over to the Duggars. They're not gonna know.
They're not gonna know.
You're just gonna be like one more person at the table, like, oh yeah, that's Jesse, and just say it with enough like gravitas in your voice, like, yeah, I'm your brother Jesse.
Totally.
Okay.
By the way, enough with these numerical baby shows, like 16 and pregnant, 19 and counting. It's like you're making me 32 and fucking lonely, and that's, you know, A, because of just the family aspect, but also like, you know, it's too much. Like, just, we don't need to follow the pregnancy process.
No.
We're following it enough online of our friends.
And it's also encouraging.
That's causing enough
people.
Problems. What's that?
It's encouraging these people to do this.
Yes.
You know, there's some family out there with 18 kids like, we got to fuck more. You got to have more kids.
No, you don't. Stop.
Yeah. Our lives depend on it. Our careers depend on it. All right. This is...
Someone contact Saggy Titties. This is
Saggy Titties.
This is maybe my, but seriously, somebody do contact Saggy Titties. This is maybe my favorite story I've heard.
Okay.
In the last... I'd say 5 years, but I don't even know in the last 5 years if I've heard a story that I've liked more than this.
Okay.
Fast food outlet Burger King will sponsor the wedding of an Illinois couple. Not just any couple. These are the nuptials of Joel Berger and Ashley King.
It's the Burger King wedding.
They accepted the restaurant's chain offer to pay for their July on Monday. We are very appreciative of Burger King and can't thank them enough for their generosity, said King. It all started after their engagement in October. The couple had a little fun with the name coincidence and posted a Burger King restaurant sign for a photo. They were interviewed by a reporter in Springfield, and Burger King got the wind of the article and immediately was interested in the happy couple, tweeting for help to locate them. And on the front page of the fucking... So Burger King tweeted, "Mr. Burger and Ms. King, is this real life? Please help us find this amazing couple. Hashtag Burger King wedding."
greatest hashtag ever, by the way.
So the Illinois State Journal Register, the front page has this headline: Burger marrying King is whopper of event.
Oh, God. You know, some staff writer was like, nailed it. That's awesome.
They met in kindergarten, it says. They grew up together New Berlin. In fifth grade, classmates Joel Berger and Ashley King were asked to stand as student council representatives during an assembly. He said our names to the school and then laughed and pronounced it together. We were Burger King. The fucking...
I hope they announce your divorce at a McDonald's.
Dude, if I'm
they're getting married just for this, I feel.
Yeah,
like.
And if I'm these guys, I absolutely hyphenate my name, so every time it's like, "Hi, I'm Ashley Burger King."
You're like, "What'd you just say?"
And then you walk into any Burger King, show them your credit card, and they're like, "Oh fuck, well, now they're here." Get free food. No, it's okay.
If they're smart, they pull like a, they make like the same way Subway made Jared just a normal fat guy, the spokesman. Yeah. They need to like make a line of commercials with these guys. Cause like Burger King, like, who is it still the king of the mascot of like,
it's
who's
not,
there?
It's
that
not,
would be great if Jared just showed up like, "I'm going back to being a fat ass." Watch this here, Burger King.
Well, I feel like he's going to have to anyway just to get another round of commercials.
Sure. I don't think they have a mascot right now because it used to be the Creepy King. And now it's not the Creepy King anymore. Although they should get married by the Creepy King.
They really should.
Yeah, that fell flat. Burger King King guy was just like, "I'm not going there on principle." On the fact that you thought this was a good idea, I'm not stepping foot in that building.
Yeah. Well, these people have now inspired me. My name is Brad Williams. I got to find a girl with the last name of Sonoma. And then we can do that thing. And I don't think you guys know that store.
Williams,
or else that joke would have hit a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Is that a wine? Is that a type of wine?
No, it's like a Crate and Barrel.
Yeah, it's like a Crate and Barrel.
Williams Sonoma?
Yeah.
There it is.
What part of the country are they in?
Here.
It's like Brooke Williams?
Yeah.
Burke Williams?
Maybe all their signs are really low and we can't see them.
Damn it! You got me again, Williams Sonoma.
Would you guys marry? Like, what would what? How crazy would the last name be of somebody for you? Not like I'm trying to think for each of us. What would the combination be that could be as funny? You know,
I think if they had the last name that the teacher had in South Park, I would not marry. So my kid would be like, you know, Matt chokes on dick, like that. Like that was the teacher's last name in South Park,
right?
So yeah.
So what could there be for what like?
Oh, you mean like
this the blank Williams wedding? Like for me, it'd probably be like if my wife's last name was Gunn or of Light or right, you know
the Ray of Light wedding.
Yeah, like or Ray.
Or just Ray.
Yeah, the Ray wedding. then it's
like 9,000 black people just show up. Yo, Ray getting married?
Yeah.
Oh shit!
I was wondering who was gonna go there. So
me
or the. Or yeah, like something like Saratella. I think you're pretty much safe.
I think it's just been not if there's like someone out there that's like, you've been cheating on me. Saratella, you've been cheating on me here, huh?
Wait, that you've been cheating on me, Saratella wedding?
I could tell you've been cheating on me. I don't know what I'm trying to say over here.
Yeah.
So yeah, it sounds like a Fozzie Bear joke. Like
Saratella, you've been cheating on me. Waka waka.
Yeah, the worst thing would be is if like you have your name or whatever, and then you fall in love, and then some like serial killer or like some rapist comes out that they have your name. So it's like, oh, I met Jenny Henderson, and it's the Williams Henderson wedding, and then some rapist comes out and is like, Williams Henderson, the most notorious rapist of all time.
Yeah,
like,
for
fuck!
Sure. Yeah. I feel like Jay Leno hit this pretty hard over the head with headlines. Like, I think there was like we're all getting ready for the gay butt wedding, you know? it was like John Gay and Susie Butt. Which,
yeah.
First of all, it's like, and some of them were probably doctored, because sometimes it was like, you know, it was like, you know, this one's going to be great. And this is, we're all really excited for the spaghetti boner wedding, you know? It's like, all right, man. That's, you know, you just clearly photoshopped that. I've said this before, and I used to have a joke about it, how my mom and stepdad, you know, have kind of encountered this issue. Because obviously my mom's, you know, real name is Carolyn, but her nickname is Puddin, and everybody calls her Puddin. Only, I think, comrades call her Carolyn. Some would be more professional.
Sure.
So Puddin, and then my stepdad's last name is Cox, C-O-X. C-O-X, okay? C-O-X. But Puddin Cox.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, thank God his last name wasn't Cox in the Butt.
So really, you're like, always looking the bright side. at least it's just Puddin Cox.
For sure.
Well, that's why our friend Jay Moore took his wife's name, because he's married to Nikki Cox, and then so he hyphenated his name, so his name is legally Jay Moore Cox. That's not even a joke. That's absolutely true. He is Jay Moore Cox. So tweet him at Jay Moore 37.
But that's
say, hey, we're on the Ballast Night podcast. Your name is Jay Moore Cox.
Now, what if your name was Harry?
Oh, everyone's God. Really excited for the Harry Moore Cox. This is also one of the things too, where you go on the surface, like as a dude, like hell yeah, Moore Cox, but no one is demanding Moore Cox. No. There's no one like bring in Moore Cox.
Even the girls in the Bukkake videos always look surprised.
I didn't know what this was. I thought we were going to fucking Benihana. Bukkake.
All right, last story. And this is just crazy. Guy crashes motorcycle.
Okay.
Hospital said if it was them, they would pull the plug. He was like in a fucking terrible state.
This, yeah.
Girl goes, no, fuck that. He wakes up 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't know his dad died. Doesn't know he was married. Wow. Said in the interview, I looked up and saw the girl who was my wife.
Yep.
Was taking care of me, and just thought to himself, yay. Is what he said. Like,
oh,
thank God. Like,
that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my question to you guys is,
I would hate it.
Like, what if? Well, if you did look up, I mean, and like, what if? Like, I was really hoping, as you know, for comedic purposes, that he was going to be like, and I looked up and was like, ah, really? Like, I didn't.
That's
the best I could do.
I've been faking it the whole time. When the fuck are you gonna get out of here?
Although I think this has given me the most genius way to get out of a marriage. You know, just fake being in a coma for 3 months, and then like come towards, I have no recollection of even marrying you.
For sure. You definitely would wake up too, like, you're pretty possessive. You stayed here the entire time?
I don't know. That's a little too stalkerish.
Don't you have any hobbies?
You mean the whole time?
The whole time? Really?
Well, that just, you know, hey, that also like pounds home the notion of like the hospital. I mean, the hospitals aren't always right. That was their advice. They were like, because they were like, yo, if we were you, we wouldn't fucking wait around.
Yeah,
you know?
That's huge pressure on the marriage, too.
That's crazy. Pretty sure the girl's just hot, and then the doctor wanted to bang her. She's like, he just has a sinus infection. I'd pull the plug. I would totally get rid of him.
I choked him with the cord.
By the way, I'm a doctor.
This guy stubbed his toe. Pull it.
Pull it. Wait, let me see the girlfriend. Keep. Yeah, we'll treat him. No, he's fine. He's fine. Walk it off.
And lastly, and Brad, this should be exciting news for you. Yep. Disney is developing.
I'm excited already. Because I'm like, there's a 1 in 5 chance that there's a dwarf involved. Disney is developing. Wait for it.
A Pinocchio-inspired live-action film.
Oh, God.
Where the focus is on the relationship between the father and the son. Okay. So Geppetto and Pinocchio.
All right.
So I immediately see this and go, all right, I don't know if you can play the puppet or the wooden boy, but I think you can play the real boy.
I can play the real boy, or at least Jiminy Cricket.
Right. Wow. Okay. Well, now you just opened my head up to a whole different cast. The cast in my head was as follows. Brad Williams, Pinocchio. John Goodman, Geppetto.
He's in everything. Makes sense.
Haley Joel Osment, Jiminy Cricket. But now things have changed.
Yeah.
We need to put up some different headshots on that casting wall.
Sure.
So, Brad,
damn right.
If you were cast as Pinocchio, and I want Mark and I to both answer this, and you to answer this,
okay.
Who would be your Geppetto?
Who
so basically, like, if you were to ask Jordan, who's your Pippin? Who's your new Pippin? Like, which, by the way,
who's your new Pippin? That's a great musical. Now on Broadway, who's your new Pippin? Starring Kristen Chenoweth.
Chenoweth?
Yeah, she's an actual Broadway actress.
Not to be confused with Kristen Chenoweth.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Chenoweth.
Chenoweth?
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Adele Dazeem. I don't know what the fuck her name is. Tomato, tomato. So who would my Geppetto be? So it's gotta be an older dude, maybe kind of.
Does it, or I don't know? Maybe it could be Meryl Streep. She showed range.
I mean, there's a part of me being a kid who grew up like with the majority of his life being in the '90s when Ace Ventura came out. Like, yeah. I would want Jim Carrey as my Geppetto.
Yeah, dude.
That, and you saw him play Let me snake it. Count Olaf, and you're like, that's kind of a Geppetto. Just older guy,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
He could pull that off.
He was Geppetto-esque, or Michael Caine, dude.
Oh, because Michael Caine could be like, I've always wanted a real boy, and I've always wanted one wears a head the size of a tangerine.
I've got one for you.
Okay,
this actor is just about to get out of his contract.
Uh huh.
Tilikum.
Who?
The lead whale at SeaWorld.
You literally had me and Adam like, wait, who's this actor we don't know about?
Wow, such a Hollywood moment. Yeah. Who's Tilikum?
Who's Tilikum?
Immediately I thought, he's taking all the parts from me.
He's from Norway. He's got one name.
Can we book him on the podcast?
He's replacing the fucking One Direction kid.
Yeah, okay. Fantastic. I mean, the whole scene with him being inside Monstro would be a little cannibalistic, but all right, whatever.
Or and I think this is a logical choice, Tony Danza.
Well, obviously.
So, let's just play out that scene real quick.
Okay.
Where finally, my puppet turns into a real boy.
Okay.
So, Mark, you play the role of Jiminy Cricket. And I'm telling you, I'm boy, it's just, I've been wishing and praying and hoping for years to finally have a son. I got all these puppets, these clocks, this fucking cat and fish that just demand so much food. And I'm not making enough money to buy cat and fish food. So, Jiminy, and you're a fucking singing cricket, and that's cool as all hell. Because I got to be honest, you got great range. When you sang fucking Michael Bublé's Coming Home last night, can I be honest? I just about came home and fucked you. So, that being said, do you have a smoke?
I've got two smokes, and we got something to talk about, Geppetto.
You know, when I wish upon a star, I wish for you to have a lighter, too. Because last week, when you didn't have a lighter, you saw how upset I got. I built fucking 6 Asian puppets, put them in the closet, and for a rainy day to maybe take outside and
I'm going to be perfectly honest. I don't know who Jiminy Cricket is. I'm trying to get into character.
You don't know Jiminy Cricket?
Did he make Geppetto?
And always let your conscience be your guide.
Wait, you just said, did Jiminy Cricket make Geppetto?
No, Geppetto's the dad.
When I don't have parents.
Wish upon a star.
Right?
That's Jiminy Cricket?
No difference who you are. Anything
heart desires will come.
He was a little singing cricket that was like, he was, yeah, what was the song? Always Let Your
Always Let Your Conscience Be Your
He
guide.
Was his little fucking, like, you know.
I thought Kanye West sung that song. Jiminy Cricket?
Well, if he did, it would be like auto-tuned to shit. Like,
and always let your conscience be your guide. I'm awesome. Let me swing this one over to Pinocchio over here. Would you like to
All right, yeah. Let's close it up.
Oh, well, anyway, thanks for your help, Jiminy. And by the way, you got to put some pants on at some point.
You seem kind of out of it today.
You seem a little out of it. You seem a little out of character. Oh boy. All right. Well, now it's just me and this puppet. Well, I'll do my Pinocchio mantra that I say to myself every night before I go to bed. Oh, Pinocchio, would you turn into a boy? I'm tired of having puppets and clocks. I want another person to interact with. Now let me just do my mantra. Mecha leka hi, mecha hiney ho. Who's the boss? I'm the boss. Mona.
Well, hi there, sir.
Who the fuck are you?
I'm Pinocchio.
Holy shit.
I'm your son.
Oh, my God.
I know. I mean, I wanted to do this on Maury Povich, but they were booked today. But I'm your son. Aren't you happy to see me, Papa?
What'd you bring me?
I mean, I was just born. I'm pretty sure that's an unrealistic standard. Just think I'm going to bring you a gift. I brought you the gift of a son.
Yeah, but when I wished upon that star, I wished that Papa would turn into a boy and bring me some Playboys.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't think I'm old enough to get Playboys.
Yo, I'm freaking out. I ate a weed brownie before I came over. I don't know if this is real.
And by the way, when I said I'm not old enough to get Playboys, the nose totally grew right there. Totally old enough.
And scene. And coming scene. This fall to Disney. Brought to you by Milk. Get excited for Milk Moments. Mark Serotella. Thanks
Mark
for stopping
Serotella,
by.
Everybody.
Added a lot of funny, as usual. Mark Serotella on Twitter.
MarksComedy.com has all my stuff.
Yep, all the stuff. Comedy Juice, Mark runs it all over the country. Hit him up on Twitter. Go see him live.
Do we have time to talk about Paul McCartney and meeting him, or are we out of time?
Oh, we are out of time, but...
Next time, maybe.
Next time.
Yeah.
In 2 years,
well,
we'll talk about
real quick.
It. Okay.
We met Paul McCartney.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
So, that's the show.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here, and it's funny, and I love you.